This is Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless.
You're listening to the Mouths of the South podcast.
Mouths of the South podcast, right here on Dirty South Soccer.
Rock on.
Eat it up.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
All right, Atlanta, what is up? We're back. The Mouths of the South podcast right here on DirtySouthSoccer.com, your home for all things Atlanta United and Atlanta soccer related on the World Wide Web. www.DirtySouthSoccer.com is the web address. You can follow along on Twitter at DirtySouthSoccer. You can also follow us at MOTS Podcast. Send us an email, MOTSPodcast@gmail.com. And individually, I'm at Sam J. Franco, Eric at Eric Quintana 47, and Jason at Jason is a Smith. Gentlemen, what's going on a Wednesday night in the Atlanta area, or I guess in Jason's case, the Nashville area?
Yeah.
Can I pose two questions?
Please, right off the bat. I love it.
One, do you guys actually write www. before writing out the rest of the address?
I think some websites you have to. Like, I know that you don't always have to, but sometimes if you don't, it doesn't work.
I
just always do it.
I don't think I've ever done it.
I'm still using Netscape, so you gotta do it. Make sure.
I think nowadays, though, with search bars automatic, like I use Google Chrome and the search bar automatically fills out everything anyway. So I type like a letter or two and then just highlight it and hit enter.
All right, second question. How the hell did you guys not tell me how good grits were? What the hell, man? Grits are delicious.
What? I can't believe we're getting blamed for this, right?
Grits are delicious.
Unbelievable. Okay, time out. I literally, in Charleston, we went to this biscuit restaurant, and I got a bowl of grits with bacon and cheese inside of a biscuit bowl,
ate
it right in front of you, you how friggin' delicious it was.
I don't even know if it was good grits or not. It was just, what I was eating was good. It was at
the place that you said you got them at, Front Page News over in Atlanta. They rock some good grits.
Gateway grits, young man.
They hooked me up with some legit breakfast food. It was nice. But yeah, tried grits for the first time, and I can say that I'm a fan. I don't know what kind of grits they were. It just came with grits.
Dude, the key to grits is lots of cheese.
No, you know what? I specifically, because I was like, I'm at a breakfast place, I'm pretty hungry, I got my normal food, and I was like, you know what? Just for kicks, I'm gonna have some grits. So I got a little side of grits. Boom! It came in the came. I don't know if it came with cheese in it. I don't know what was in the grits. I just ate it, and it was delicious.
Okay, we can resume normal podcasting activities now because Eric has finally joined us in rational thought.
If nothing else,
this podcast has accomplished some good in the world.
There you go. Yeah,
so we just need to take it all in right now.
Spreading the love of grits.
I'm into some steel cut oatmeal now too.
Steel cut oatmeal is nice. Always.
I don't know if it's in the same family, but it's the same kind of texture. So.
Well, not at all, because one comes from hominy.
It's going to be our next argument. No, they're not. They're not the same, Eric.
They're both breakfast food, but they are definitely not.
You're missing the point. They both just admit that they both look like chewed up baby food.
Sure, I'll give you that. But it's not always about the looks, man.
You judge that book by its cover.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Glad we have you on board on the grits train, Eric.
And at least for the last like 20 years, I have been in denial, and I've been I haven't had the opportunity to appreciate grits like you guys have.
I
got to catch up to you guys. You know what I'm saying?
I was lucky growing up living with my grandma in the house because she would always cook. Sometimes we'd even eat breakfast for dinner. So you have like scrambled eggs, bacon, and just an awesome big bowl of grits for dinner. So I've been on grits for a long time, and it's very good to have you on board there, Eric. The Christ train didn't work out, so you had to jump on the grits train. It's totally understandable. We've got a lot to get to in this episode of the podcast. We'll start with some player news and how some of the Atlanta United loanees have looked playing for their various clubs. And then we're gonna have a little fun on the podcast this evening. We've got plenty of fan-related topics to talk about in terms of maybe some traditions we would want to see, some songs and things like that. So we will dive into all of that stuff.
If I can interrupt you 1 second, if you have a fan question for us, motspodcast@gmail.com. If you tweet it out to us, I mean, we'll get it. But depending on when you tweet it out, we'll sometimes, you know, forget. Because if you tweet it out on a Friday and we don't record again until Wednesday, a lot of stuff happens in, you know, 5 days. So if you want us to get it on the podcast, the best way to do it, almost, you know, the surefire way of doing it is to email it to us, motspodcast@gmail.com. There you go.
Boom. All right. So we will... We'll jump into the footy here in just a minute. But first, Eric, I got a question for you. How would you like to get all of your favorite Atlanta sports team merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Falcons, Braves, Hawks. Well, check out fanessentials.net. All you do is subscribe, then pick your team. And every month, you get your team's gear shipped right to your door.
Yeah, they find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. Again, that you were talking Braves, Falcons, Hawks, some of your college teams, and they're currently, as of last I spoke with them, they're working on the MLS deal. So hopefully soon we'll have some Atlanta United stuff come in boxes straight to your door. You know, it makes for a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $14.99 and go up to $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net. Use promo code MOTS, Mouths of the South, MOTS at checkout for 30% off your first month. So, yeah, go visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need.
That's right. Promo code, don't forget, M-O-T-S. Got to use that promo code to get the 30% off your first month. That's also a you scratch our back, we scratch your back type thing.
Exactly.
So it helps us out if you use that promo code. So definitely do that.
A little behind the curtain, if you do that, we get money.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I was getting at. But thank you for putting it in a layman's terms.
I thought
there.
I got a literal back scratch. I'm disappointed now.
Oh, yeah. Now I've got to go back and find my Bugs Bunny Six Flags back scratcher that I bought back in the day at Six Flags and take care of that. But anyway.
You're just all over the place right now, guys.
We really are. We got to hone this in here. And we will do that by talking about Kenwin Jones, an Atlanta United player, has scored his first goal as an Atlanta United player somewhere. You know, obviously we've seen a bunch of these guys have scored goals. Like, you know, Chris McCann has scored goals and Tito has scored goals and Kenwin has scored plenty of goals. But since these guys have all joined Atlanta United last night, and we're recording this on Wednesday, August 17th. So on Tuesday, August 16th, Kenwin Jones scored a pretty impressive goal in the CONCACAF Champions League for Central FC of beautiful Trinidad and Tobago. And they got the goal there against the Sporting Kansas City. And Kenwin was fed the ball on the right side and put a nice near post finish on the keeper there. So that was very awesome to see.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic goal. And honestly, he played a fantastic game. He was unbelievably dominant. You forget that he had just joined the team, hadn't really played since May, and he just looked really good. And granted, it was against, you know, whatever you want to call it, a second team MLS side. But still, he looked pretty good. The run he made on the goal was excellent. You know, obviously a shot. He was denied on a header where he was in position to make the header, but going through the header, I guess he crashed into the keeper, and I guess the vantage point from the official was not great, so he couldn't see that he was in position. So that goal was disallowed, which would have given him the win, but unfortunately that's not how it turned out for them. But no, it was good. He did a lot of good stuff with his back to the goal, and you know, was able to feed his teammates. He had one pass that should have been a goal to one of his. He at least two assists, two goals and two assists, I think, yeah. Is what he should have had. It was impressive.
And we should definitely mention that the first goal, he had a really cool, basically flick over the flick from front to back over his head into the dangerous area to set up the assist that would, you know, lead to the goal.
Yeah, that's right. And he's playing very good soccer and already in a team that he, you know, has never played for or not. Well, I don't want to say that because maybe he was in their, you know, setup when he was a kid or something. But it's just very good to see a guy that Atlanta United went out and really kind of bought out of thin air, and to see him play as well as he played last night was really refreshing. And it's also a thing where, look, we knew this guy was class, but, you know, we didn't know how he has been. He, you know, he hasn't been as in the news or whatever lately as he was, you know, earlier in his EPL run. So he still looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, I mean, lots to be excited about, honestly. Like, I don't know how you could not be excited about everything that you saw from him. You know, if you were watching that game, which you should watch the CONCACAF Champions League, by the way, it's a really fun league. But, you know, if you watched him, he looks like exactly what we want. And I don't expect that's going to be too difficult to translate that to actual league play.
Yeah, you would hope not. And I definitely think that he is for sure going to have a field day in MLS when he is when he's ready to make the jump over here. Obviously, that'll happen when Atlanta United is getting much closer to actually putting that full team together on the field. But still, it is very exciting to see him playing that way last night against an MLS squad. Like Eric said, a watered-down MLS squad, but still an MLS squad. And it kind of gave us our first moment to really talk some smack to another MLS fan base as Atlanta United supporters. It's like, hey, guys, guess what? An Atlanta United player just scored on y'all. What's up? What's up? Y'all want some? So it's kind of cool to be able to actually talk some smack.
He had the attention of national MLS and U.S. soccer guys. I know Jason Davis was paying attention, and he was, I think, impressed. You know, the point for him was it's fun for Atlanta United fans to be able to watch someone who will be on their team. You know what I'm saying? It's fun to be able to finally root for someone. It's tough that we can't watch McCann play. We might be able to see some of his games, maybe, but for the most part, I think we're going to have to go off of Twitter feeds and, you know, match threads. So, you know, we'll see how that turns out. Hopefully, we get to see one or two of his games. But yeah, between, you know, Villalba and Kenwin Jones, it's going to be fun to actually see people play that will be on the team next year, that will be able to score goals for Atlanta United in the Benz, you know, in MLS. And you know, hopefully that it's good because this is all – I know they're focused on their clubs now, the clubs they're loaned out to. But, you know, for us as the spectators, this is all – we can consider this preseason, if you will.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. So it's going to be a nice long preseason where we get to watch some Atlanta United guys. You know, keep our fingers crossed that there's no injuries or anything like that. And I hope these guys can keep up some good form and move it on. And like you said about McCann, we don't really get to watch him. Just following along on his game for Coventry earlier in the week. That was yesterday too, actually. And we did see some good things where it seemed like he has already had a very positive impact on Coventry. And there were some things where I think one of our cohorts at Dirty South Soccer, Jason Longshore, put in our Slack channel. He was like, hey, you know, he's already gotten a foul and a yellow card. I already like this guy. Or not a yellow card, but he's already got a foul. And the guy that ended up getting fouled and get subbed off. So he's like, I already like this guy. So I thought that was kind of funny there. But there were some other things where, you know, he, I think, nutmegged one guy and did some other stuff. Obviously, we didn't get to see it. But it is good to hear that he is having a good impact on them.
I mean, we wanted the workhorse and also, you know, sort of from my side of things, we wanted kind of the villain who could, you know, get out there and rough some people up. Sounds like we got him.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing to hear him. He had already taken out a guy, I think, halfway through the first half, and he was already – he megged someone at one point, and I don't know. Both guys from what the coaching staff said after the game and from what we saw with Kenwin, you know, both guys seem to be – guys that you build around, that you help, that pieces of the puzzle, as Carlos Bocanegra would say, you know, for the team that'll be built for 2017. It's going to be fun. Look, having someone that can, I think one of the commentators last night said, you know, the entire match, he's been playing balls off his chest perfectly, and he's able to, you know, get around his defender and you know, feed his, you know, his teammates some passes into the box and into areas to score, to create some chances. And I'm just thinking, Kenwin Jones, a guy like that who's able to do that against, you know, MLS competition, you know, Kenwin feeding Villalba, oh, goodness. Getting goosebumps.
Yeah, no, that the prospects for that are just tantalizing. I mean, you've got a guy playing, you know, if Kenwin can just keep up his good form and stuff, and yeah, Villalba tearing down the flanks and sending balls into him, that is going to be super, super fun to look forward to, and just see those guys, I guess, formulate a chemistry once they actually get together on the same team. I guess that's really all we got for the players for right now. So, you know, hopefully something happens where we get to watch McCann a little more, but at least when Kenwood's playing in the CONCACAF Champions League, we get to keep our eye on him. So that's some good news there for sure. Our, I guess, main event topic of the show today or whatever is an interesting one that came to us, I believe, on Twitter.
It was an email. Yeah.
Oh, no, it was an email. Okay.
Let me,
okay.
Man, I'm so. So, full disclosure, obviously Thursday night, so whenever you listen to this, just think back to, no, Wednesday night. Today, Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, Wednesday. We didn't really know that Villalba was playing tonight in the Copa MX. Apparently he is. So we're scrambling to find out some like last minute to see if we can't, you know, either watch the game or see what's up. But just trying to help out the guys on the Slack channel, at least bring it to their attention. But anyways, it was emailed by. Say something real quick. Let me see.
Littering.
let me see real quick. Sorry, I'm trying to. Harris Kruskick. Sorry if I butchered that name.
I was about to go, the snozzberries tastes like snozzberries on you, but thank you for finding out that.
Harris Kruskick. His question was, if it was up to you guys, give one tradition you would want Atlanta United fans to do before, during, or after the match. We got some pretty cool responses. Let me see if I can find them. But before we do that, what about you guys?
See, there's always got to be one thing that really identifies you with your club. And for me, I look at certain clubs that have that defining, you know, song or whatever. And Liverpool always comes to mind with "You'll Never Walk Alone." And, you know, Manchester United's got the, you know, we call it the Battle Hymn of the Republic here. You know, glory, glory, Man United. So, you know, there's always this identifiable thing. And I really think that if we could turn, you know, like the Ray Charles version of Georgia On My Mind, like into our You'll Never Walk Alone, that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, I got to admit, that's mine too. I mean, since I heard it, it's been, I'll find myself in the car just playing that song over and just imagining what it would sound like in a stadium and you know, being sung by a million fans. And it gives me chills. So if we can find a way to do that, that'd be great. Preferably on TV.
I think that's
lost upon the league, that part of that culture, part of that experience of being in the stadium is having that kind of camaraderie. Having that, you know, arm in arm type of feel and swinging back and forth as you're singing the song. And, you know, you miss that when you watch it on TV. And so I wish they would show that to encourage people to go on TV. Soccer is half about the fan experience as it is. When you take that away from the TV viewing experience, you know, you're not showing what it's like to actually be there. You know, we get frustrated at you know, watching U.S. men's national team and you doing the same chants over and over again. But when you're at the game, it's in a completely different experience, especially before the game, after the game, everything. And so to be able to capture stuff like that, at least little things like singing a song before the match begins or before the national anthem or whatever you want to do, I would push hard for Atlanta United to be able to put that on TV somehow. I don't know how that works because I know there's time constraints and a certain order things go in. I think it's the national anthem and then you go play. So it probably have to be before that. I don't know if that can be rearranged. But again, that's the idea. The idea is to get it on TV so that people can appreciate what it's like to actually be at the game.
Yeah, exactly. That gives you that kind of that fan experience of knowing, hey, this is an Atlanta United thing, and this is what goes on at those games. I totally agree with that.
Hey, y'all want to hear mine?
Yeah, of course.
It is also Georgia on my mind.
Yeah. The Mouths of the South are in unison. We are providing and presenting a united front. I mean, come on, guys. Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. I mean, it's perfect. The only
complaint I've heard is that, you know, for the guys that don't, for the people that don't live, for the families and you know, season ticket holders that don't live in Georgia, it's going to be kind of an issue. Like,
who cares? What are you talking about? It's Atlanta United. Like, we're the team in Georgia.
I know, but you know, they're going to feel disconnected just because of how society is today. And
you know what? Tough. That one. I cannot have any sympathy in that regard because the team's in Georgia. It's Atlanta United. If you choose to cheer for a team in the state of Georgia, the capital of Georgia, the capital of the South, Atlanta, I mean, yeah, Georgia on my mind. Ray Charles. It doesn't get any more Georgia than that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Some of the other ideas I've heard. Chris, his handle's at MLS Guru ATL. I think an ATL clap as the players come onto the field would be pretty cool. I don't know if that would take away from the singing, but.
What, you mean like a three clap, like ATL, ATL?
I think it's ATL and then like the Icelandic clap.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. I think that's what he's thinking.
Okay.
By the way, the Icelandic clap isn't, you know, specific to Iceland. They didn't start that.
They've been doing that forever.
That's been done all over the world. So don't feel special about, like, or don't think most, Iceland is special.
I feel like one of the more famous qualifiers leading up to the World Cup in Brazil was that time it was the qualifier in Seattle, and they, you know, they did the Icelandic, you know, quote unquote, the Icelandic clap.
Right.
And Ian Dark was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, like losing his
as if it's the first time he's seen it. It's like, I've definitely seen that before. Another one is from Nicholas Arjona. Sorry if I mispronounce your name. March to the match is always a good tradition, but from where? He doesn't know. And maybe the whole stadium sings something to Outkast.
Yeah, and this gets into a great
March to the match. March to the match, I can agree with, though.
Of course, I wasn't going to say anything about March to the Match, and I think it would probably be from, you know, maybe from like Centennial Park or something, or, you know, somewhere in that area.
Ooh, do you think we'll be allowed on there? I don't know if we'll be allowed.
What, Centennial Park?
Yeah.
You can't. It's a public park. You can't keep people out of a public park unless there's an event going on there.
To set up stuff to tailgate, though?
I mean.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. The parking lot's going to be where the Georgia Dome is. So, you know.
Okay. I forget that the landscape's going to change completely.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't really know. I mean, unless you're just going to do it from, like, you know, one of those, from like the CNN Center or something, you know. Yeah. I guess you could do it from there. But yeah, I'm definitely down with that. But we were talking about this off the podcast, and I want hip hop to be involved with the team. Obviously, you guys that have listened to this podcast know that I'm one of the staunchest advocates of that. But in terms of crowd chants and songs, unless you're just talking about hooks and choruses, it's really hard to have, you know, that kind of like the thing we're talking about there with like, you'll never walk alone and what we would want with Georgia on my mind. Like, you can't do that with rap songs.
Yeah,
it's just kind of a medium that doesn't translate into what we're talking about. Especially because, look, soccer is about singing. It's not really about chanting a little bit. You know, I think that's a distinction we can kind of go with, is that, like, there are some chants, like the ATL pre-clap.
Europe is like that. Like, I think we want it to be more authentic like that. But at the same time, like, you know, U.S. soccer and those kind of things, it is a lot of chanting. And I don't even count, like, you know, like the U.S. I don't even really count that as a song. It kind of seems like a chant more to me than a song.
Well, I find there's a difference between chants and songs. Chants are the things that you can say either repetitively or quickly and be done with. A song is, again, something that I would say arm in arm, swinging back and forth, you know, all that dramatic stuff, either before a game, after the game, at halftime, whatever. I think it's important to distinguish it too, because an ATL clap thing, that would be more of a chant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. You can mix them both in.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm not saying you can. I'm just, there's differences. Let's not assume that they're both the same. I think some people do that. That's why I bring that up. I think there are some raps on, like, Welcome to Atlanta. I think if that's done right, it can be a something done during the game. Find a good, obviously, Welcome to Atlanta would be a starting point, but find a good ending point or find a way to, you know, keep it going with Atlanta United related lyrics or something like that. I think that might be doable, but it couldn't be done for very, it'd have to be, you couldn't drag on the lyrics like the song does.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. So I think that hip hop is just really hard. I know that you know, Field Mob, Ludacris, Georgia, you know, I know that that's kind of, it samples Ray Charles, Georgia on my mind, but it's still, I think, a good one that you could do too, because it's also got some like hip hop lyrics to it, obviously, but very, very tough.
The key, I think, is to look for a hook that has an actual like melody to it. You know, like if you find a melody that can be sung, it's good. But if it's just like a, you know, because Georgia doesn't really have all that much of a different tonal shit. There's not a whole lot of intervals going on there. It's just sort of like a monotone chant. Whereas I don't really know what one doesn't really spring to mind immediately. But if you could find a rap hook that had like a melody to it, then that could work. You know,
there's one. Okay, so it's not a hook, but you know, a lot of fans, especially this is prevalent in British soccer. You know, the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. You know, you get the you know, you get that a lot.
The world hates now.
They do. They do.
Americans are rebelling against that a lot.
Right. But in that vein, Atlanta United could do one with Spodey Odey Dopalicious, the Outcast song, where the trumpet part's like da 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 da. Like if everybody learned that, I think that would be really cool. And you know, that would be putting Outkast out there, you know, and that's a very popular song of theirs, and that would be getting out like a cool Outkast song in there without, you know, the rap aspect of it. So, you know, I've been racking my brain and how they can involve an Outkast song, and that's about the best thing I could come up with.
I think Roses could work, by the way. That chorus has a pretty melodic hook.
Well, but it also talks about, you know, fecal matter.
This is where you change words, though, right?
Yeah, you got to make a
Thank
specific
you for doing
night,
that,
yeah.
Because that segues into a topic that I wanted to talk about. Changing the words to songs or taking songs and twisting them around a little bit. I really like that idea. And I think there are a bunch of songs out there that, you know, either have Atlanta already in them or something, you know, Georgia already in them or something that we can use. And it doesn't even have to be like that. You could take, you know, even kind of popular songs and just change the words to them. You know, that happens all the time in soccer supporter culture. Where, you know, you might have a popular song. They'll even like, I remember when Bobby Zamora played for West Ham, they took the White Stripes thing and instead of just humming the song, they went, oh, Bobby Zamora. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you can kind of take liberties and just use those melodies and put the words in there. And I think that'd be a really cool way to do it.
I'm all about taking artistic license with this, especially if it includes players' names, because, like, the Bobby Zamora thing is not unique. There are tons of other songs that do that across the soccer universe. And so, especially with names like, you know, Kenwyn Jones, I feel like the fact that Wynn is in his name, like, we got to use that somehow.
Well, see, it's funny that you're mentioning this because a certain someone that is a host on this podcast has taken a song from his childhood and done exactly what you're talking about and what we're talking about.
Is it you?
It is me.
It is surprise, me. Surprise.
I know, right? And so, there is a band that came out in the 70s called Pablo Cruz. They are like a yacht rock band. My dad introduced them to me. And they, you know, they had like 8 albums or something like that. And they had 5 singles reach the Billboard, the top 25 of the Billboard Hot 100. Thanks to Wikipedia for all this information. but yeah, they're like a yacht rock group. And they had a song called Atlanta June. And my dad, I guess, really liked Pablo Cruz back in the day, you know, kind of growing up and living through the disco culture there. It is also his birthday today. So, Dad, when you listen to this, happy birthday.
Does he listen?
Oh, yeah. Carlos Franco gets down on the Mouths of the South.
Does he love you enough to listen?
Whoa.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Got really, really.
Back to the song.
I was going to say. Back to the song. I got to regroup here. But, yeah, of course he does. And, again, happy birthday, Dad. But he liked this band. And I remember one day we were just riding on the car and he had a CD on. And this song comes on. And the song is called Atlanta June. And the chorus for it, the hook for it, is absolutely perfect to have something done to it for Atlanta United. In fact, we are going to play the hook for you guys. Talk right
about, are you going to sing for us?
Your boy's about to sing. But,
oh, he's going to sing.
Yes.
But first, you've got to hear the hook. And then you have to, and then I will sing my interpretation or my rewriting of the hook to fit Atlanta United.
All right, so, everybody quiet, play it.
All right, here it is. All right, first of all, if that doesn't
freaking perfect
just get you going, I don't know what could. Because
getting hyped on Yacht Rock. Getting hyped.
That's what I'm saying, man. Get hyped on some Yacht Rock. So that is the hook for that song. And, well, without any further ado, this is what I have done to said hook.
I'm
and
so excited.
This is a good one.
Before I get it, obviously these will all sound much better when sung in unison, but
just play it.
I don't claim, well, I'll play anything. I got to sing, but I am no Pavarotti here. That's all I'm going to tell you. But here goes nothing. A first on the Mouths of the South podcast, a song sung by one of us. All right, here we go. Oh, Atlanta, Atlanta, you. Better than L.A., Orlando, and the crew. Hail Ken Wynn, Tito, and Chris McCann, Uncle Arthur, too. Atlanta, you. Boom! Look at that! That is... That was written in like 10 minutes. And see, so that's the thing. This is not that difficult. There is so much you can work with out there. And that was, you know, clean. It didn't have any bad lyrics. I threw some shade on Orlando and the Columbus Crew and both LA teams, really. And it included player names. Uncle Arthur got in there. So that's the thing. Just have fun with it. Like, I'm not even, like, saying, like, that's the best thing ever written or anything. I'm proud of it, personally.
If you change it, we're shooting you in the face.
I mean, honestly, we're doing this on air. I need honest feedback. The terrible singing, notwithstanding, lyrically, and putting it onto another song. How was that?
No, it's fine. I think you can adjust the timing just a little bit.
Yeah, obviously it wasn't perfect.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, sounds pretty cool.
I thought saw this on paper before the podcast, obviously. And so I thought when you had the Hail Kenwin up there, I was like, that's going to sound cool. And then with the rhythm of that, I was like, that didn't work as well as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
One thing I would say about that, though, is like, I like the actual just ending lyric of the hook as it is, like the maybe one day something will bring me back to you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. I just wanted to, you know, include some player names in there. But again,
demonstrate to you the proper way to do this of like use player names, do it's, you know, yeah, we're running a little shop here.
Okay,
yeah,
but play around with it.
But and obviously, like, just imagine, try to imagine that, but sung by, you know, 10,000 people. That might be your.
Here's the task though that everyone seems to be forgetting though. It's one, whose responsibility is it to come up with this stuff, and two, how is this disseminated amongst the supporters?
That's always the good
right.
question.
When it obviously, comes to that. But because we're a new team, because we're literally going to be, beginning. That's my concern is that we're going to walk into the the Benz for our first match and we're not going to know what the hell's going on.
Well, this is why all the supporters groups, and right now there are three. There may be more.
Well, technically four, but they've got like 50 followers, so we don't count them yet.
I think we're going to have
They're a baby supporters group right now.
Okay, but what they need to do is organize, get together, and have some sort of, meetup or meeting where they discuss all this stuff. And because it's not going, if you just have one supporters group doing one thing and another doing another thing, they're going to be drowning each other out. Again, this is Atlanta United. A united front needs to be presented. So they all need to work together as supporters groups to get everybody on the same page.
If I could tell Darren Eales what to do real quick, you should facilitate this process.
Of course.
No. Hold on. You want the president?
I'm like host a night where these
people. He's not saying the president. Okay. He's saying the team in general needs to
gotcha. Okay.
be the ones that provide. Like, yeah, they can be the ones that go out and rent a space and provide and host the event just so that it works both ways. It's, it's a you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Again, I know I already used that analogy.
I'm wondering.
It helps out the Atlanta United to have good environment at the stadium, and it helps the supporters groups be unified and be all on the same page.
I'm wondering if that's what ultimately this. Well, I mean, beyond the fact that we want to go out and support the U18s, I wonder if that's what that's partially for. Making a big deal out of the game and bringing the supporters groups. I hear that Terminus Legion is working on a TIFO right now. I think they're. They're trying to figure out exactly where they're going to play at Pace Academy because they have a couple fields that they can play on. One of them is the main stadium, which is a football field, so that would kind of suck. But there'd be stands, and I was looking at some pictures earlier today, and from what I could see, the actual soccer field I think they use doesn't have stands from what I saw in the picture. They might. I don't know. If they do, it's not much. It's not, it'd be a lot of standing room only people, but I really want the supporters groups to treat September 24th as a, and I've got a piece coming out on it tomorrow that on Dirty South Soccer that
that
talks about how you can really take advantage of this opportunity to not only one be rowdy for the U18s, but this is going to be a huge moment to teach the fans that are there. Hopefully, it's a lot of them. Some of the stuff that, Terminus Legion, Footy Mob, Resurgence have come up with, in terms of chants, in terms of songs, in terms of, whatever traditions. If I'm any of the supporters groups, I am going all out for this one, just create the experience that maybe people on the fence are wondering about, that maybe people that are just happen to, that enjoy local soccer, go to the game because it's gonna have a crowd and maybe they aren't season ticket holders yet and they buy season tickets. Maybe it's guys on the fence. I don't know. It could be anything. It could be a young kid looking for inspiration to try out for Atlanta United, whatever it is. That experience, that environment, it really does a lot for not only the game on the field, but also the people. The people participating in the supportership, if you will. You can get people to come back just based off the environment itself. That's big.
Can I go back to Atlanta June real quick?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Okay. Because I totally agree with what Eric just said. Terminus Legion, Footy Mob, y'all get out there and do it. But Atlanta June, I just want to talk about how perfect this song is. The main difference to me between Atlanta June and the Georgia On My Mind that we're all plugging, we really want to make work, is that Georgia On My Mind, especially as sung by Ray Charles, does not follow like a strict 1-2-3-4 type meter, like a steady tempo. Like his jazziness, which is what endears so many to this version of this song, is not really, he's very syncopated, to use a musical lingo term there. He's not exactly on the beat the entire time, whereas Atlanta June is just a really simple melody that follows the beat the whole way through, and that makes for a really easy song to sing. in unison as a supporter section, rather than getting all muddled and people being like, I think they're singing George on My Mind, but I don't know. It just kind of sounds like a whole bunch of drunk people yelling stuff.
By the way, Dad, if you are listening, that counts as your birthday present. I just took one of your like favorite like 70s, like disco, soft rock, whatever you want to call them bands, and wrote a Atlanta United song for them. And he has two like club level season tickets. So when you hear a remix version of Atlanta June being sung by Atlanta United supporters, Dad, you're welcome. Okay. I had to get that out there. All right, Eric. Sorry.
My only problem with what was I gonna say? No. I until you prove to me that Georgia on My Mind doesn't work, because they can't get in rhythm or whatever. They can't get the fans can't, you know, stay together in terms of the lyrics, or you know, no one cares. Whatever the reason is, until you can prove to me it doesn't work, I'm going to fight for that to be the main thing before a match starts. Like somehow let's incorporate that. Let's you know. I hate to rip off of Liverpool or just, you know, English Premier Leagues. I wish we could come up with our own customs and stuff like that, and maybe we can. But that would be awesome.
You know, another alternative. I'm totally
cool with ripping off of, you know, other teams that do, I mean, just about every other team that does a song before a match.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not just like people that do song for them. I mean, that's across all sports. I mean, look at what they do in for Red Sox games. You know, there's Sweet Caroline, you know, and I think right after Take Me Out to the Ball Game, the Braves always play Thank God I'm a Country Boy. So, you know, I mean, there's identifiable songs like that across sports. I think that's just something that people have been borrowing and stealing from each other for a long time.
Yeah, we can copy teams. Well, we think we're copying teams based off the opening song thing, but that's done by a ton of teams. But we gotta find some uniqueness to us, Atlanta uniqueness to the soccer matches, and find a way to make it Atlanta centric. And I, that'll go back to changing lyrics to songs and stuff like that, and using those to be able to chant with. And you know, like for example, the ATL clap thing. But you know, we just gotta find a way to make it Atlanta specific. We gotta let people know that they're watching a game in Atlanta whenever we're on TV.
You said, with the uniqueness, though, that's why you bust out, like, you know, 1970s yacht rock B-sides, because, you know, I mean, that's how you are unique. That's how you're awesome unique.
Is really what that is. That's how you're exceptional.
Can I give you guys another example of a pretty good idea? I don't know if this is off the top of my head. I just can't think of if this is done anywhere else, specifically in soccer. But Jackson Popkin said, definitely a train horn after a goal.
Oh,
and that would be a callback to, you know, One Terminus Legion and to just the, you know,
I'm not the biggest fan of horns and things like that. I mean, Jason will back me up on this, although you probably might have never been to a Vanderbilt game, but you can, that god awful horn that they play. that thing, I've been to that stadium twice, and there's never a sound I like to hear less than that horn. I just think that has an ability or that has a possibility of getting very old.
Definitely kills the vibe. Now, the best use of that on Earth, I will go to the mat for this, is the Vikings' use of the Viking horn.
That's awesome. That's exactly where I was going. I wonder if we can somehow bring in a bunch of vuvuzelas or something, whatever. Something that makes a noise that every time they score, we can, you know, blow it all at the same time. You know what I'm saying? That'll be like our goal thing.
You know, one thing that I know we don't want to talk about, like stealing from other like soccer cultures or whatever, but when I was over in Germany at the World Cup, when you go watch the German national team, and you'll hear this when you watch Bundesliga games on TV too, when one of the players scores a goal and like the PA announcer is like, you know, Tor, Lukas Podolski, you know, he's like, he'll say like Tor, which is goal in German. And then he'll say Lukas, and the entire crowd chants Podolski at the top of their lungs.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
See, okay, I feel like too many teams already do that.
I think that is so cool though.
It's also not in, it's not in England.
It's not. England. That's like, yeah, I feel like Germany's really the...
Germany and France.
Okay. No, wait. Doesn't Man City do it?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I don't recall watching a Man City game, although I don't really watch a whole lot of them unless they're playing like Man United or something. But
I'm like 90% sure they do.
Well, that's our homework. Watch Man City's next game and see for sure if they do that. But regardless, I think that one is always, you know, it's really cool when, I mean, and actually I got to see Germany play Ecuador in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. And just that was an overwhelming experience because we all know the historical significance of the Olympiastadion in Berlin with Hitler and Jesse Owens and all that stuff. But being, you know, in Ecuadorian, you know, apparel and the little like 600 of us that were in a little one pocket corner of the stadium and then being surrounded by, you know, 80,000 Brazilians who are all chanting in unison at the same time wasn't necessarily the most comfortable feeling ever, but it was really, really cool. Like, I, you know, Podolski scored in that game, and I just, it was almost Richter scale stuff having like the name Podolski shouted by 80,000 Germans in one stadium. So I think that that is that's almost a little bit maybe of an intimidation factor you can build with something like
you
that.
You said no one in MLS already does that, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think most teams just do like this little dance. Like they play a song or like a whatever, some kind of traditional hype song or whatever, and you know.
You're talking about after goals fan out. Or like
Yeah. This would be in MLS it would be different, but it would still look like I'm just looking at the optics of most of this stuff. If we do Georgia on my mind, it's gonna look like we're copying Liverpool. If we do the last names after, you know, shouting out the last names, that's gonna look like to me Man City. Although I'm 90% sure, but it's gonna look like we're stealing from other clubs in England or in Europe.
At least dude, we're stealing the good stuff though.
I was gonna say yeah, that's true. I don't really mind if you're stealing good stuff. Don't steal crap, but like. That's the thing. Who are you stealing it from? Who specifically are you stealing it from? I feel like if one team does it and you go and do it, yeah, get on somebody for that. But if every team's doing it or like a bunch of different teams are doing it and there's no real like origin for it, then I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
See, that's something you have to really – you have to communicate very well to, not only to the supporters but the team all before that first match. I think it would only take one match to, you know, nail it down. But, you know, obviously that would require the PA expertise, you know, from Atlanta United.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, that's the thing. You have to have someone that was, you know, trained in doing that. And, you know, cough, cough, wink, wink, as a PA announcer myself who's been doing it for years.
Oh, you know what? I got another idea. And this is kind of stealing from the Mighty Ducks, but you know how they do duck, duck, duck. Or no, quack, 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 quack.
Quack, quack,
what
quack.
If we did, what if we did that sort of thing except whoever scores? Vijalba, 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 Vijalba.
That I don't.
No.
Vijalba might not be the easiest name to do that.
McCann.
I'll just
McCann,
put it that way.
McCann, 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 and we all go crazy.
That might be an interesting thing, and that's the thing. That's what this is. It's brainstorming. It's trying to figure that stuff out, and that's why I think. You know, you have to have just as much of a communication amongst all of the people that are going to be involved in this, and that's how you figure all this stuff out. And honestly, I kind of feel like, you know, we're even doing that to an extent right here, just kind of, you know, throwing feelers out there on stuff. So
yeah,
there is plenty of different stuff out there, and I think we've really just brushed the tip of the iceberg here. I think, you know, we could go down this route for, you know, hours.
But regardless, this is what Terminus Legion, this is what Footy Mob, this is what Resurgence will be doing right now.
Well,
in anticipation for September 24th, whenever that U18 match is, they should be doing, if they haven't already, I'm sure they have. You know, I know I've listened to some of the Footy Mob stuff that they sent, I think, me.
Yeah,
and you.
I think they can, you know, use that as also maybe each supporter group bringing to the table what they have.
Right.
You know, for and then, you know, it's obviously a trial and error type thing.
It'll be fun to see how it progresses either way. I mean, if it's you know, if it's really planned out and you know, we have all this stuff in motion game one, it doesn't sound great, but over the course of the season, you know, we perfect it and it sounds awesome, then great. If it comes more naturally and more organic, then that's also great too. I don't want to force anything on you know, the fan base, but part of that draw for me, at least what I think is part of the draw, is the fan experience, is the fact that a soccer match is so unique to any other game, because it's not, you know, you're not sitting around like you do in baseball. You don't have those intermissions like you do in football. You don't have, timeouts and halftime and quarter, end of quarters in basketball. You don't have that kind of stuff. So you have to be active and cheering and doing stuff the entire game. That's what makes it so different. And that environment, that atmosphere, to me, is a big draw. That's half the reason I love soccer.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the various and different environments are what make a lot of the game atmosphere what it is, for sure. I mean, you know, obviously the game on the field is what you're there to watch, but I think going and being a part of something, you know, really special and really unique is something that can be really cool. So,
Skate, if you're listening, let's get the ball rolling. Let's make this happen.
Exactly.
This is me telling Skate what to do right now.
Word.
So I feel like we can end like right here on a really positive note. I know, Eric, you had something you wanted to get to. Do we still want to do that? If you want to do it, it's more than okay for you to do so. But I just thought I would say that we've been really positive in trying to uplift and generate new ideas. And then we do have this other story to get to. So, Eric, I'll let you take it away with that if you want.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on it, because I this isn't a podcast just to bash Atlanta Silverbacks fans every chance they get, or every chance we get. It really isn't. I just want to inform you guys of, you know, what's going on with the Silverbacks right now. There's a GoFundMe account right now, basically asking Silverbacks fans who want to be part of supporter owned team. They're asking you to donate money so that they can buy into 49% of the Silverbacks reserve squad, who plays in the ADASL. Is that right? Yeah, ADASL. 49% for essentially an adult league team, that is not a wise investment, especially when you don't know what the percentage is, that, because they say later in the GoFundMe page that, you know, they'll figure out later what the stake in the actual NPSL club would be. If I'm just knowing the history of the Silverbacks, if I'm getting into this, I want like three lawyers in the room. I want everything in writing. I want everything video recorded. I want extra recorders on the table. I want everything just monitored so I don't get screwed over. Because that's what you're looking at if you buy into this. You know, we've gone through some of the, I've asked around about some of the, you know, how much it costs to run an NPSL, or sorry, an ADASL team. And there's, and I've heard, you know, $6,000 is pretty much funding the team. And that is not a good look when you're trying to create when you don't have 100% of the stake of at least the reserve squad. Basically, what they said in this GoFundMe page is that essentially all you're given with those 49% is marketing rights, which for an ADASL club means you get to post stuff on Facebook. You get to post up on Twitter. You know, you get to maybe make permanent posters or you know, banners or something. I don't know. But I guarantee, based on what I've been told, the research I've done, it seems as though most of the money to fund that team, which from, again, the GoFundMe page is around the GM basically said it would run between $10,000 and $12,000 to run the team for the entire season. To do it right, as he said. Half that money is going toward the field, toward being able to rent out Silverbacks Park, which is essentially where they want to play. It's a Sunday league where the games are at 11 in the morning. Just know that before throwing money into this thing, because I think it's just know what you're getting into. I'm all for fan-supported clubs, all that stuff. If there was a way that the podcast or Dirty South Soccer or just a group of fans could raise enough money to have bought an MLS team or bought an ASL team or that'd be or a USL team, whatever. That would have been amazing.
Anybody in Mouthy Nation win the lottery, you let us
exactly. Yeah. But that's not the case here. You get 49% of a reserve club and then a still to be determined amount of stake in the NPSL club. Which again, based on how this team has conducted its business in the past, I wouldn't trust anything they said unless it's in writing. Unless there are lawyers present. Unless there are people there that can verify, that can... you go into these meetings, prepare for the deposition. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we'll just end it on that. Because like you said, I'm glad that you got on the old soapbox there and had
oh,
your
oh,
say.
Oh, 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 can I... just the kicker?
Oh, yes.
So...
yes.
They're working on partnerships with local soccer pubs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad we didn't leave this out.
Yeah, to provide shuttles for fans watching early morning English and European matches at 7 and 9 to shuttle them straight to the stadium for the 11 o'clock kick.
By the way, shuttle is a direct quote.
Not only that, but those 9 o'clock games typically end at 11. Right?
Yeah, there's a. I'll just say this.
Unless you're watching at the Silverbacks, you know, restaurant thing, the bar they have there, you're not making it until halftime.
Yeah, I'll just say this. This whole thing smells like shittle to me, and that's how I'm going to end the Mouths of the South podcast this week. Other than just by saying that all sounds so laughable, and I again, we don't want to be this. Throwing a bunch of dirt on things, but yeah.
Listen, I'll be the first one to say that if there were more of a stake in this, if there were defined terms, they're basically asking Silverbacks fans to invest in something or no, donate something, because it's not an investment for the people donating. It's an investment for the Atlanta Silverbacks Trust. They're going to make the investment, not you, the donor. But they will listen to you. They will take your. I'm sure they'll take your opinions into consideration. They'll look out for the fan first. In that sense, yeah, they'll do that. But you don't know the team. It'll be Silverback's Trust, I think. But yeah, but without defined terms, without knowing exactly what you're buying into, this has to be done apparently by September 11th. Again, $6,000 by September 11th. It is the 17th now, so that's basically 3 weeks. That's a tough ask. I mean, it's not. Undoable, but I mean, there's high school sports programs that can raise that kind of money with a car wash, so it's perfectly doable. But what you're buying into with that money, you don't know yet. You don't know all the facts. You don't really know what you'll be able to market. Again, $6,000 to post stuff on Facebook. Come on, I don't know what other marketing you do for an 80 ASL club.
Yeah, again, there's not really a whole lot else to be said about this other than. Beware where you're putting your money.
If there were more defined terms, if there were a defined stake that I could agree with, I would even donate to this because I'm totally in favor of fan-supported clubs. But that's not what you get here. You get half of the reserve team, and as of now, nothing of the NPSL team, although they say that there'll be something later. But again, they're asking you to donate blind. That's it. I'm done.
All right, well, that wraps up this episode of the Mouths of the South podcast. I still can't believe I sung a song.
I can believe it.
On this episode, but that's how it went, and honestly, it was fun. I had fun with it, and, we will gladly take anybody's suggestions. How about this? This is the homework we're giving the Mouthies this week. Go out there, find a song, whether it has Atlanta in it or not.
We're giving homework.
Send us stuff. Send us stuff, motspodcast@gmail.com or tweet us at motspodcast. I did my homework, so we want all you guys. We want to hear what you guys have to contribute to all this. I think that'd be a really cool little project if people just came up with their own ideas on this kind of stuff.
No, yeah, please do. I think it might be better at email so that we don't forget. But email, better yet, tweet us just, the ideas you have. Email us the more thought out produced type thing. If you can actually get yourself recorded onto a song or whatever, if you can link the song to the email, what your lyrics would be, how exactly it would work, that'd be great. And we can pass it along to people that know, people that make decisions. We know people.
Exactly. Yes.
We have connections.
Yeah, we know people. We're kind of a big deal. But that'll wrap up this edition of the Mouths of the South. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out DirtySouthSoccer.com, your home on the World Wide Web for all things Atlanta United, Atlanta soccer related. You can follow on Twitter at DirtySouthSock, that's SOC. Also, check it out on Instagram at DirtySouthSoccer and on Snapchat, DirtySouthSock, again, SOC as well. The three of us, at Sam J. Franco on Twitter, at Eric Quintana 47, at Jason Isn't Smith. Gentlemen, it's been fun, and I look forward to talking to you guys again very soon, and hopefully more and more we'll have some new stuff to talk about, especially a coach. Can we have a coach? That's all I at this point.
Oh, there is an update on that. End of the summer, early fall, which really isn't an update.
Not really, but thank you for
that.
Update. Excellent. Well, we'll be back. We'll be back very soon with another episode of the Miles of the South podcast. Thank you so much for listening, Atlanta. We'll see you later.
See ya.
Atlanta Jew.